Bernard Mandicini at the Gutman Center in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Bernard, whatever brought you to Bucks County in the first place?
Fate, luck, being at the right place at the right time. Really, the story goes that while I was at Penn in my graduate days, I was working part-time during the year and full-time during the summer for the man who's the executive administrator for the dean at Penn, who in effect is the dean, although the dean is sort of a titular head. And he had a project of cataloging all the works on campus. So Doug Schiller, who lives over the main house, myself, were doing this for him. And it became very important. As we were going through the job search at the end of the year, our final year, which was just terribly traumatic, we realized we weren't going to get jobs, so we decided to make ourselves absolutely invaluable to the office there. So we did that. And in doing so, they had to keep us on full-time during the summer as regular employees. During that period, they realized that they didn't have the budget to keep us on as a full-time curators, gallery-type people for the university. So at the same time, the budget was cut, and the people who were out here who were formerly with the Gutmans, they were unable to be paid because of their budget cutbacks. So what happened was that we were approached by, mostly because we worked independently, they could trust us, we were conscientious. Plus, I think there was also a bit about, it had to be approved by the department chairmen in that, well, Engman has said to me, who was chairman of Penn, that I was the best sculptor that he's ever put out from Yale. So, and Doug, who's somewhat similar with Neil, as far as the painter goes, they wanted us out here. So what we're doing is trading rent and utilities for keeping up the grounds at a minimal level. And this way it costs the university nothing really except for the upkeep of the place, which they would have had to do anyway. Mm-hmm. And we have a free place.
Why has the University of Pennsylvania decided to put this center in Bucks County?
Well, the story, it's rather long. When Joe Luby was the man who's the executive assistant to the dean, when he was working in another capacity at the university, mostly in fundraising and grants and so on, Mr. Gutman had approached the university saying that I have an estate in Bucks County, and if you work up a number of proposals and you work up with one that I find suitable, I will leave you this this facility. So Joe Luby was the one, maybe 8 years ago, who wrote up the proposal that this be a fine arts center. And Mr. Gutman accepted it. As it happened, Joe became involved more with the fine arts. And when Mr. Gutman died, Joe was in the position to be the person who would be the first administrator for this, the person who's really in charge of developing it. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of by chance. One of the major problems is Mr. Gutman didn't leave any money for the upkeep of the facility or for the refurbishing of the facility. He did give them the impression that that friends of Mr. Gutman would come up with the money. They just split. They don't want any part of it.
So meanwhile, then, the Gutman Center is pretty much inactive.
Yeah.
And it's just waiting for a turn and tide for funds.
Right.
What is your activity at this center? How do you see this as a base in Bucks County for yourself?
Oh, well, it's a terrific base in that, first of all, I'm here rent-free. I don't have to pay. Mm-hmm. I'm living in a beautiful area that is an hour and a half from New York and an hour from Philly. I'm also in contact with a lot of people because of the center. People drive down the road, people who approach the university sort of come out to me, or through Joe they come to me and I speak to them about it. I'm in contact with a lot of people who, as a professional artist, could help me or be good contacts in that respect. So basically it works as a base in that respect for me. I do have exposure to the students in that the painting students come out here during the fall and spring generally to paint for 2 or 3 days. They stay in the main house, and I just sort of help them along in the area, that sort of thing. And of course, I do crit a little bit, but nothing that, I don't want to feel that my position is that of a teacher yet, with them at any rate, because they are graduate students, and they're mostly the responsibility of the people in Philadelphia as far as that goes.
Mm-hmm. Do you see yourself being involved in here as a teacher in future years?
I hope so. Whether that's going to happen or not is another thing. You know, the scenarios can run all the way from when this place gets off the ground, I could be director, mm-hmm. or to when this place gets off the ground, they say, so long, you got to do for yourself now. So, okay. The university's notorious for never making commitments.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The thing that interests me is that the Gutman Center has very little outside workings with Fox County.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just come necessarily across you because you're now going to be up at the community college.
Right.
What other workings have you as an individual, though, have had with Fox County?
Only with the Art Alliance. I joined the Art Alliance, mostly at first for the insurance. They were going to be getting a group insurance thing. Yeah, good. Then I became interested that it seemed to be the only vital organization that dealing with the arts in the area. I started going around to, the first thing I did when I got here is I went around to all the galleries and became rather depressed.
Why?
Because they're just, the level at which they deal at is really a tourism kind of thing. There's an image of what Bucks County and Bucks County art is.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty much supported by weekend painters, weekend artists. The full-time people are generally those that have an aesthetic that is predicated on selling their work rather than on any kind of search. And so that's what you see in the galleries. That's what people come up here and expect to see. That's what they want to see. That's what they. Coming, if the gallery is going to survive, they have to deal with that kind of stuff.
Are there any galleries in Bucks County that don't work on that level?
I haven't found one yet. Uh-huh. If there is, please tell me. I'd go over there and talk to them.
That one.
I don't think it'd survive here, though, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
They have a tough time surviving in Philadelphia, a good gallery.
Mm-hmm.
Only in New York and a few enlightened places here and there.
Mm-hmm. So you went around to Bucks County, you went to see the galleries, and you found that the Arts Alliance was the only working organization, vital organization.
Yeah.
Had you ever come in contact with any other organizations, such as the Arts Council?
Not until I joined the Art Alliance, and my contact with them has been very minimal in that the Art Alliance belongs to the Arts Council, and I therefore get their newsletter. I haven't really mm-hmm. been up there. I should go up there and talk to them and make myself known.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done that.
How do you see yourself involved in Bucks County in the next few years?
Well, I would be involved in Bucks County only as in support of the Art Alliance, really. Of course, I'll be teaching at the community college for, it's only a 1-year contract. And I would like that to blossom into something if possible, but I certainly doubt that it will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how else? I'd love to swing a commission up here with some building going up.
So you think that there is room around in Bucks County for commission work. Where do you see that happening?
Doylestown, new shopping centers, if you can get a hold of some enlightened people, which there are very few around, that realize that art is certainly a part of the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, what would the image of Bucks County, I think, artwork in public places here would certainly enhance the image.
Mm-hmm. Who do you see being able to bring some of these shopping centers around to the idea of putting artwork into it? Do you see it as an individual quest for yourself, or do you see other organizations or individuals helping you with this?
Primarily, I see it as mostly as an individual effort. I'd like to find other organizations, such as the Art Alliance, maybe the Council, that would help.
Mm-hmm.
As a program for other artists, too.
Right.
Would be an excellent idea.
What have you done to place yourself in the, I don't know what the word is, what have you done to acquire some of these commissions? Anything at all?
No, I haven't. What I'm doing now is that there is a commission out in Ohio right now that I was just sent away for the information. It's a $100,000 commission. There's no way in hell I'm probably going to get it. But what that'll do, by just applying for that, will get my my paraphernalia together,
mm-hmm.
for the kind of thing that you have to do to present a, you know, to give a presentation for a commission. By getting it together, then I'm going to start hawking architectural firms, maybe state offices, and so on. It's a matter of sending them a portfolio.
You're aware of the Doylestown Revitalization Committee?
No, I'm not.
Okay, what's happening is Doylestown is going through a major change right now in the fact that it realizes that it's basically a dying town. If they don't make some altercations, that they are going to definitely be out of the running.
Now, that's life.
There is an entire commission. There's the commission, Revitalization Commission, and then there's a unit where it's the visual imagery of the town itself. And also in architectural changes that are going to be going on, and I do believe that might be someplace you might look into doing commission work. They're planning to do a lot with walkways, opening
Wonderful.
Buildings up into open spaces, changing parking lots around, making it so that it's an accessible town rather than
mm-hmm.
in its present fashion, which is basically inaccessible.
Right.
But they're very keen on the fact that arts are what can save an area more than anything else.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
if they don't bring culture into Doylestown, then they're never going to get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got quite a few other organizations working and doing festivals and seminars and workshops. And
what it can do for a town, what the arts can do for a town, is phenomenal. And most politicians don't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
New York City alone, as far as sales go in the galleries, they do sales of a couple of $1 billion a year in taxes alone. It's
mm-hmm.
phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Plus what it can do for the tourist dollar up here, too. Amazing. If you,
mm-hmm.
This place has, Bucks County generally has an image to people of being an art center. That image was created many, many years ago, and especially New Hope. It no longer exists,
mm-hmm.
But people still expect to see it. Now, I think they're slowly, rapidly killing the goose that laid the golden egg, especially New Hope has.
Mm-hmm.
People come up there and expect to see it as an art community, and it really isn't. And what's happened now, it's getting very schlocky. And there are a lot of shops up from people who I happen to know in the area who are shop owners. A lot of shops are closing up simply because the kind of clientele that they used to deal with is no longer coming there.
Mm-hmm.
So they're killing themselves.
Right. So they need some type of shot in the arm?
Right. As a newspaper article put it, I was... When the reporter had interviewed me, I was rather pointed on that fact. And then Bob Engman down in Philly put it a different way, which was a little bit nicer. New Hope needs a focus.
Who do you see doing this work, though? I mean, we can all sit here and say, oh, but they need to change their image. They need to upgrade the quality of it. You as an individual artist, how can you alter the situation?
That's tough. By existing and being in the area. Of course, that takes a lot of work, and I don't know whether I'm really prepared to do that kind of work in the area. I'm primarily concerned about doing my own work, and that takes, if you're an artist, you're an artist, and it takes a minimum of 8 hours a day, sometimes 16, as much as 16 hours a day. You're not an artist unless you work. There are a hell of a lot of people around here, and a lot of people out in the art field who are out there hawking their work, but their work, nothing new has been done for the last 5 years. That to me is not an artist. That, you know, if you're going to be a salesman or a public relations person, you can certainly go into business in New York and make a hell of a lot more money doing it with that kind of effort than doing it supposedly from your quote-unquote art. If you're an artist, you got to work. That's all there is to it. What I've decided now is I'm taking out one day a week that I am going to Philadelphia, New York, or in the area, and just to do public relations, get myself known, that kind of thing. I think I'll start in the area, go down to Philly for a little bit, even Philly's almost a waste of time. New York is the most is the only place, really, unfortunately.
Is this the first time you've ever done that?
Yeah. While I was in school, I didn't push myself, although I had lots of shows, mostly group shows. And I still show a lot, really. In this last year that, I've had, I had one one-man show, it was two-man, Doug and I, so considered a one-man in that I was the only sculptor being shown. And then in group shows, I was in one, two, three, I'll be in about five of them this year. Mm-hmm. So that's showing an awful lot. I hope to keep up that pace. I find shows are good for me and that they make me work.
Great, I got a deadline.
Right, I hate showing old stuff. It drives me nuts to try to show old stuff. So I'm always working to get new stuff out, at least have half the stuff new.
You're a sculptor. Where do you find the materials around here? What about a foundry? Mm. How do you survive as a sculptor in an area that basically has very little equipment in this nature?
Oh, well, that's one of the major problems with art education or education of a sculptor, is that most schools are very well equipped. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you're training somebody to work with equipment that costs thousands of dollars, mm-hmm. and when they get out, they don't have anything and they don't know what the hell to do. Which is crazy.
You go in reverse.
Yeah, you got to go in reverse. They just don't know how to deal with things. It takes me a longer time to do certain things. Just to make a base takes me three times as longer to make a base by hand than it does if I had a sander, a belt sander, mm-hmm. or a table saw or something like that. It's difficult, but you can do it. And another thing is that the emphasis in a lot of sculpture is on materials. And that's crazy, that's stupid as far as I'm concerned. The emphasis should never be on materials, the emphasis should be on what you're making. Mm-hmm. So materials should be subordinate to that, mm-hmm. Rather than that being the main thing. People seem to think that by creating new avenues of materials, they're going to create great art. Well, that just never worked that way. Not really. It works that way maybe for a short time that people say, hey, look what this person did in plastic. But big deal when it comes down to it. The great art of our century, who do you have? Matisse, Giacometti, the great sculptor. What did they work in? Plaster and clay. The oldest forms that you can possibly find that sculptor's been working in. Not in vinyl plastic wrap or something like that. It's the form that counts. So as far as materials go, I work in materials that I can afford, which is basically plaster and clay and wood. There's a lot of nice wood up around me. You can find good wood. There's not too much good native stone. I'm going to start carving, though, soon. I'm going
to
go ahead.
There's a wonderful man in the county who goes to Italy 6 months out of the year to be a stone cutter there.
Ah,
that's the only way he says he can survive, is because there's nothing around here.
Right, right. The only good stone in America is, let's see, it's up in Vermont, and then you can get some Tennessee pink or something mm-hmm. like that. That's about it. I think there's a place out west, too, that has some good stone, out mm-hmm. in Colorado. But that's about it. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to find a good piece. You may have to go up to the quarry and pick it out yourself, mm-hmm. really. But as far as foundries go, that's another gigantic fallacy. There are, you know, all these schools have foundries. Mm-hmm. You can cast 500 pounds of bronze in there. Well, when you get out, 99% of the time, you're not going to have a foundry unless you got a teaching job and you're back at a school that has a foundry. So what are you going to do? You're going to go to a foundry, and there's lots of them around. Mm-hmm. There's, in this area alone, and I'm including Philadelphia, there must be 50 of them, mm-hmm. or 100. Most of them commercial, few of them fine art, but you can, if you don't want an exact casting, you know, a casting that you're going to work, once you start working in bronze, you realize you have to rework the casting mm-hmm. anyway. You can go to an industrial foundry
right.
and have it done. That's where all the technical knowledge that's being thrown at kids in school about silicons, bronze mixtures, and so on. Mm-hmm. It's great to know so that when you go to a foundry, you're not ripped off. Mm-hmm. But hell, that's what you're paying the guy at the foundry for.
Mm-hmm. What about the expense, though, for an artist in having to go to something?
Terribly expensive. Mm-hmm. That's the only drawback. I've been casting up my own down in Penn mostly because I couldn't afford the expense.
Right.
And now that I'll be over at Bucks County, I hope to cast up a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm. Is it feasible for this area to go into some cooperative studio space, or if are these commercial facilities much more readily available and require less money in the long run?
It's probably economically feasible. Whether or not it's artistically feasible is another thing. I really have a lot of great doubts about the artistic level that people are working at in this area. I think the good people around, the people who are working at a high artistic level, you don't see very much of.
They're in their own studios or they're not here?
Right, they're in their own studios.
Okay. Still running. Okay. How would you like to see Bucks County change for yourself?
For myself. I'd like to see the houses become less expensive so I can afford one someday. It's interesting. In a sense, well, Lower Bucks County is sort of working middle class, and Central Bucks is getting that way, but there's still pockets like this area which are somewhat upper class. And I lived mostly, when I was in Penn and before that, I lived with the blue collar, lower class, middle class. And I find that as far as art acceptance goes, you'll only find it with the upper class. Interestingly enough. And although
is
a lot
of... Is that lack of education?
Somewhat, mostly because there's an instilled fear put in by the media of what art is.
People like Rizzo don't help that one.
Right, right. You know, Rizzo's a complete jerk. But some, you know, people who have eyes don't see. And the people who have eyes who don't have money can't afford to buy it or support it or understand it because they're too busy just trying to survive.
Mm-hmm.
It's a leisure time activity, in a sense, mm-hmm. the way things are. It always has been. You know, the artists were always supported by either by the church or by wealthy patrons.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're being supported by corporations, federal government, and by wealthy patrons,
mm-hmm.
and but very few.
Do you think a system such as the Artmobile in Bucks County has the ability to change or ratify any of that situation?
I think it can help, and every little bit helps.
Mm-hmm.
I really do think it can help. I think it's a wonderful idea, getting it out to the people. You know, I don't make my stuff to sit in my living room. I want people to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's successful in that it, you know, gets across to them, any little bit of what I'm trying to get at.
How can you change that? I mean, is it possible for you to maybe put some type of statement with the work itself or to become involved in showing people that come to see your work or talking with them?
I could. I think talking with them might help. Written statements are kind of contrary to what the stuff is about. Unfortunately, you know, our language is beautiful, and the facilities of the language to express yourself are great, but nobody ever uses them these days.
Language is created to make lies.
Yeah. When you're dealing with a piece of work that's visual, that its statement is visual, it can't, if it's any good, it can't really be put into words.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading the design book for setting up the course, and it breaks down art into all these different areas of balance and structure and system and all that, but it all, and it's phenomenal because it's mind-boggling. I can't see how a student's going to come in and look at all that and say, well, now I understand, you know, that's crazy. But it leaves out the most important thing. There's something, if it's art, there's something in it that you can talk about that's speaks to the soul or speaks of the soul. That's a mystery. And of course all life is that way too.
That's a quality that is rare in art itself, in really good art. And most
not in really good art, in art.
In art, okay.
Yeah.
You have it in good art. And you have a lot of people that you're going to be teaching that are from Lower Bucks County, that are from Middle Bucks, that haven't necessarily had the opportunity to go to Philadelphia or go to New York.
Right.
to become familiar with some of the better artwork. How do you see that as in your teaching of these students? Can you instill them with the idea of there's this a sensation that's embodied in this artwork, which I can't explain to you?
I think so. I think the main part of it, and maybe this is where Bucks County needs to change. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and a lot of artists have come out of Brooklyn, especially recently, more than ever. The reason for it is that everywhere you turn, you can't miss art. It's everywhere. When you grow up, you walk down the street, you look up at the lintel on an apartment building, it's this outrageous Art Deco or Art Nouveau, or you walk down the street and there's a monumental piece that you can't miss it. That's what this area needs if you're going to help people as far as understanding, appreciating art and what it can do for them. And what it can do for them is maybe enrich their soul.
How do you plan to bring all this artwork to your students?
I want to try to expose them to as much as I possibly can. I'm going to have to do it by slides. I'm going to have to do it maybe hopefully by class trips if we can arrange that kind of thing. Mostly, the most important thing is to give them some kind of criteria by which to judge not only their art but their life. Mm-hmm. That's what's missing generally with people, is that they have no criteria to judge by. I got thrown out of the Museum of Modern Art one day, and this is an interesting thing, because criteria that's been thrust on people, especially educated people these days, is criteria thrust on by art historians who know nothing about the act of making art. Mm-hmm. They know everything about the history of art, supposedly, but not a damn thing about the act of making it. And therefore, as an old song said, you know all the notes and you know all the words, but you never quite learn the song she sung. It's the same thing. I was in the Modern, and there was this painting. There was a group of people going through with a tour, and this woman who had done a series of lectures, maybe 15 or 20, and she said, here we are by this painting, and the painting was this brown wash with a tire hanging down off of it, a piece of fence. And she said, now this is your 15th lecture, by now you should know what this and that Cezanne upstairs has in common. And I said to my life devoted to these sort of things. And I said, what the hell is that? And she said, Cezanne has in common, I can't figure it out, Jesus. Nobody answered it. So she said, well, it has some kind of logical structure that the artist has put in. And I said, my God, if you look close enough, my skin has logical structure that nature put in. Well, the guard quickly hustled me out. My wife was appalled in the corner, embarrassed. But it's true. People are thrusting these criteria on people that is something that's almost written down. It's a written down criteria that they think that because they're in a position of supposedly greater knowledge, and of course there is a degree of truth that, you know, art's a matter of opinion, but some people's opinions are more knowledgeable than others, and that is true. But who's to say who the more knowledgeable people are in many respects? Only the artist could say that. I don't think the art historian can. So if you can maybe bring a degree of criteria to students, so that they can set up their own set of judgments of values, mm-hmm. by which to judge art, and is therefore seeing that by setting up that kind of structure, they can set up that kind of structure for their life, mm-hmm. of values for their life, and maybe they can get along a lot better in life and in art, mm-hmm. that way.
As a senior to college myself many years ago, especially in the architecture, going around, I've never seen really an artist studio. There was always an illusion involved in that fashion of an artist's life. Okay? I'm just going to say that here, involved.
Mm-hmm.
And in going around the last few years because of this job, I've been finding that what I'm seeing in actuality is quite different than the illusion of the paint splatters all over the walls and the raving maniac, you know, just creating art. Do you think that there are enough truly operating artist in Bucks County that you can show your students what an artist really can be?
I hope so. I don't know. I don't know any of you that are artists in Bucks County. I really don't. I'm very isolated here, and I almost could, in a sense, for another 5 years, I feel as though I should have very little to do with other artists, generally speaking. Because we start bashing professional soccer unions every day. You know, this is getting, that's good, that's bad. There's a friend of mine who's he's one of the better landscape painters in America, a guy named Paul Resica. And he was great trip because suddenly one of the people came up and said, I don't like this and this about this painting. And he would say, but that's exactly what I do like. You know, the one thing about artists, they can never agree on anything, really, to say. I want to stay away from that because right now I'm very much concerned. I went through a lot of years of school. In total, after high school, I probably have as many years as a doctor does. And I'm finally, in the last year and a half, I'm really starting to touch on my own imagery. And I want to develop that fully.
Without any other influences, and other artists can influence you. I'm at a point now where I don't think too much of what other people have to say to me about my work is going to help me a whole hell of a lot. Mm-hmm. It's really what I have to say myself about my, I'm my harshest critic. And I know that, and that's fine. I don't think anybody else's criticism is going to help me a whole hell of a lot right now. There were earlier points where it certainly helped a lot.
Aren't you going to receive criticism, though? You're saying that you want to get your art out to the public more and more.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a form of criticism?
In a sense, but that doesn't, I shut it off. You know, I'm able to shut that part off. When it comes from other artists, then I can't shut it off, really, because I have to listen to what they say, because they work, and they have eyes, and they have knowledge, and I can't totally shut that off. There's a few artists who I would go and bring my work to and say, hey, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Rosati is one of them, Bob Engman's another, Maury Lowe is another that I know of right offhand that I could do that with. Mm-hmm. I could just call them up on the phone. And I trust their judgment. But on the most point, other people who are working as I am, you know, Doug's a painter, and there's a fellow, Richard Sandler, who I had moving in one of the houses on Street Road, who's a sculptor. They can't help me with my art. And I think I'd be a little bit defensive if anybody who I didn't know came in and talked to me. And to be defensive, that's counterproductive anyway, so I don't want to really have that much contact right now with other. I think in a few years, what they could say to me as far as criticism, I'll be much more sure of my own imagery, much more sure of what I'm doing, that would mean too much to me, and I might pick up the one thing that they're saying that I could utilize in some fashion. But right now, I don't think I can.
Mm-hmm. What type of family unit do you have that's supportive of your work itself?
Amazing. I went back to school at the age of 25. I had a degree in history. I had a child at the time and a wife. I had saved up quite a bit of money because I was in business, which drove me nuts and made me very unhappy. But it was somewhat successful, so I was able to pay for my schooling. My mother thought that going back to school was wonderful because I would find a profession that I liked, that I could make money at. Of course, she didn't count on me turning out to be a fine artist. She counted that really rather bothered her. My wife has been outrageously supportive. You know, there were times when it's very difficult. I did 5 years from when I was 25 to last year of schooling, and that's tough when you have a kid and your money's running out, and your kid asks you, you know, can I have a tricycle? And you say, Jesus, I can't even afford that, you know. It's tough. There were times I felt like quitting because of that. And I said, Jesus, I'm a jerk. You know, here I am. Other people are surviving who have half the intelligence I do, and they're doing real well, and I'm just sitting around pulling my putt. My wife was supportive. My child is very supportive. My mother, not so bad. She's really come around recently. She really thinks that I'm okay. my in-laws drove me up a wall. I caught all sorts of shit from them. And I still do to a degree, but they finally given in, I think. It hasn't been that bad. They've been pretty good. Mm-hmm. My mother's really come around. I think being an Italian really helps that. Yeah, there's a whole thing of with Italians that the art is part of life. So, and it's not considered a kooky profession or anything like that. It's another way of living, and they know it because it's been with their culture and history. It's ingrained.
Okay. I think that's about it. Thank you very much, Bernard.